Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome back. Welcome back. You're with Dr. Harris, Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show. We're broadcasting from Fresno, Mississippi, Fresno on the West Coast. The West Coast, better known as the Golden West Side of Fresno. We are here once again. It's been a hot day, a long day. I apologize for being censored by Blog Talk Radio. I had to file a complaint today, and it seemed like after I filed a complaint, we're able to get back on the show again. So we are happy. Our board is lit up. I put the phone number down on there for those who want to call in to 563-999-3490. We want to give a shout out to all the freedom fighters here locally and across the country. We also want to give a shout out to all those mothers out at Bullard High School who are fighting a good fight for their children. We also want to give a shout out to the community who is coming beside them, standing with them, supporting them against the situation that happened with the little white baby sister painting her face black. And so I have gotten involved in it now. And so I'm going to be organizing a meeting at our facility about a direct action out at Bullard High School to where we had a board member who went out and intimidated, threatened the children. There made statements to them about, hey, stop talking about this black face. Stop talking about this black face. If you don't stop talking about it, I'll make sure that you will not cheerlead ever again. I will dismantle this Bullard High School cheer team. And he didn't come to talk about the black face. He came to talk about protecting the young little white sister, which I'm finding out he's real good friends with the family. And so it is what it is now. So now he has to deal with real revolutionary people now at this point. And we met yesterday. I met with some parents, concerned citizens there. And so we're mobilizing now. We're going to be kicking up a couple of gears. We will be going up north. We will be going up north to do a direct action. We'll let you know the date and time of that when that time comes. Also, want to give a shout out to my son. I believe he's live streaming right now, watching the show. We just want to thank him for representing West Fresno, representing his family, me, his mom, Harris family. He will be attending Southern University this year. We'll be pulling out of here next week, sending him to where he can finish his college career. He's a standout, great kid, 3.8 GPA, excellent cheerleader, excellent gymnastics, all kind of awards, just man, he looks like Mr. T for all his awards around his neck. But, you know, we're just happy and thankful that we know that it wasn't easy. We know that, you know, when it comes to cheerleading, and the crazy part about cheerleading, a lot of people don't know, is that cheerleading actually was founded by a man when I did the research on it, but somehow it got transitioned to women, and so I guess society thinks when they see a male cheerlead, they have this stigma that males are not supposed to cheerlead. So that's really not true. But we just thank him because I seen over his courses at Central High School that more young men have gotten involved in the cheerleading department throughout the entire district of Central. And it's because of him, because of what he endured. The name calling, all that type of stuff he went through in middle school until daddy stepped in and it all ceased just like that. I just said abracadabra and it all stopped. So, and that's what we're supposed to do as parents. We're supposed to fight for our babies. We're supposed to stand for our babies. God gave them to us and they're our responsibility. And he knows that. Sometimes you don't tell me stuff deliberately because I know what daddy gonna do. So I might want to go tell mama first. But anyway, you know I love him. We just thank him. We want to wish him off to Southern University. this coming next month. Great job, son. Keep up the good work. We look forward to you coming back to Mississippi Fresno to be a thermostat, to be a change agent here in this community. And, you know, like I tell everybody, you know, everybody has something to do with his success. Just wasn't me, just wasn't his mama. Everybody that came in his pathway did something. It was just encouraging words for him to be successful. And we can't, you know, there's an old saying, it takes a village to raise a child. And so we have to get back to rebuilding our village of black folk, which has been destroyed by white folk. And over the 400 years of slavery, including Black Wall Street. And we unfortunately have adopted their behavior to destroy things. Mm-hmm. You know, if you look at us as a people, the Moors, and if you know your history, you'll see that we are people who really cared about people and was about building and capacity and partnership. And look at the Native Americans, you know. So, you know, we're just at a time right now where we're just self-destructing right now. We have to change that. We have to change the mindset of thinking. We have to be conscious about who we are, where we're coming from. And like I said, I told somebody yesterday, the listening audience on the live stream as well as on our Blog Talk Radio, it's not my job to teach white folks not to be racist. That's not my job. And for those of you who think that's not my job, you're really mistaken, okay? My job is to teach my people to be productive, to be successful. It's my job to encourage them. I got enough problems in our community than to worry about trying to teach some white person that they shouldn't be racist towards our people. I think that our people, we have to learn how to protect themselves. And it takes us, you know, kind of right into the story of the show tonight. And, you know, I was thinking about this last night because I was censored off the radio. And I just, you know, I freestyled on live stream for about, I don't know, maybe an hour and 30 minutes. Got over 250-some views. I was like, whoa, that never happened before. But, you know, I think a lot of people, you know, agree with me. Some people disagree with me, and it's okay. You know, we're not all supposed to agree with one another. Disagree, you know, so we can open a dialogue. I'm not always right. You're not always right. You know, but we can talk, and that's the good part about this. But it takes us right into our show tonight and reference to, if you look at the screen, you will see information about the Black Panther Party. And we have someone that's online here tonight who I would love for her to really talk about the Black Panther Party because she was there when all this took place. And I just, you know, when I hear her talk, I never told her this before, but when I hear her talk, I just like want to be like a kid with some candy and get to her feet and just listen to everything she has to say, you know, because that's the knowledge. You know, she was there. You know, she seen the party office. She seen Huey Newton. You know, she seen Everett Cleveland. She seen Bobby Steele. She seen all the legends that was in our community that was building, you know, capacity building for our people, started the lunch program. You're talking about the Black Panther Party here, you know? We're talking about the Black Panther Party who were college students. They were college, you know,
yes,
and in America, when they were thugs, they're carrying guns, and they're Black Panther Party, so you know, we're going to read the white man's constitution. And whatever it says that we're going to do. And the constitution
and they
says,
did it.
You have the right to bear arms. So if the white man, quote unquote, was the Oakland PD who was assassinating and murdering black people for no reason because of the color of their skin, because they couldn't control them, right?
That's
because the Black Panther Party said, We don't need no white people in our community telling us anything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So the philosophy of the Black Panther Party and Dr. King was different. Now,
yes.
They wanted to get to the same location, the same place, but it was different ideologies because the Black Panther Party said, we're not turning at you. You shoot at us, we're going to shoot back at you. You kill me, I'm going to kill you. So it was an eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. And so that's where we are today. And then all good Ronald Reagan decided he wasn't going to go to the Oakland PD and tell them, will you please stop shooting black people? Will you please stop? No. Ronald Reagan went to Sacramento and passed legislation to say, we're not going to let these Negroes walk around here with guns. But it's okay for the Oakland PD to assassinate black people and their children and their women.
Mm-hmm.
So we're still living in a society right now that is still racist, still got white supremacy,
still
got white privilege. The KKK is still running around. We got Jim Crow laws still on the books. We got black folks who have been enslaved over 400 years, still have not received reparations. We still got police brutality. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And now black people have absorbed this behavior of white folks, destroying everything they touch, they destroy. You go to sea, they're killing all the whales. You go to Africa, they're killing, chopping off the heads of the elephants.
Yes.
I mean, it's just sad, you know. I mean, look, how many of you know, and I'm going to get into this show, but how many, let me ask you a question. For all you scholars on live stream right now, and on Facebook, and on Blog Talk, what was the first zoo in the world? Think about it for 30 seconds. I wish somebody would type me in and say, you know, what it is. What was the first zoo in America? I want to know who was it. You may not know where it was at, but it was in America, but it was overseas and it came to America. What was the first zoo in America? Who was in it? Who were the people that people paid to go and look at in the zoo? Let me see if anybody knows. I'm going to tell you in about 30 seconds. Because I want you to go to your Google and type in what was the first zoo in America. See, Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show, the education show. You're not gonna come on my live stream, you know, on our show and leave dumb. No, you're gonna leave with some knowledge and some power, okay? I promise you that. So the first zoo was your ancestors. White people went and bought and took black men and women and put them behind a cage, just like you go to Rodian Park. Go to YouTube and type it in, Black Zoo, and you will see that black people was the zoo. White people paid money to see our women naked, titties hanging, butt hanging, crotch hanging, our little bitty babies running around. Look at, they giving them bananas and all that type of stuff. This is what white folks did here in America. That's why I don't patronize the zoo. You will never catch me at the zoo. And another thing you won't catch me at is the circus. The circus is another place that house black people to entertain white folks.
True.
So this country is constantly making money off of us, right?
Mm-hmm.
For their entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
But you go
mm-hmm.
to the zoo. Those animals in the zoo are slaves. They
yeah.
have no business
yes.
there. The animals and the circus, what is it called? Ringling Brothers. They're the most racist people organization that you ever want to know. They capture animals. And how do you take a big lion that's the size of a truck and you got a little bitty whip and telling the lion to stand on his 2 feet?
Mm.
How do you take an elephant that's worth 25 tons and tell this elephant to stand up on your own 2 feet? See, that's why when I see them lions get upset and they be like Fannie Lou Hamer, they say, I'm tired of being sick and tired, being in this cage and being whipped.
Mm-hmm.
And lion go grab that dude. I said, tear him up, eat him. Have it for dinner. God didn't create that. God didn't
wow.
create that. That was the white man that did that. See? I'm just teaching you truth because see, a lot of folks don't want to talk about truth.
Mm.
No,
mm.
I don't go
yeah.
to the zoo. I don't go to the circus because it's wrong. It's wrong. Let's get into the show. So the topic of the show tonight, we have those on the line here tonight. We're getting ready to start rocking and rolling. The title of tonight's show is Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show. Where are the black men to protect the black community in Fresno?
Mm.
Wow.
Whoa.
I'm going to say that again for those of you who just came on the live stream. Where are the black men to protect the black community in Fresno? Now, the reason that I put the Black Panther, the context of the Black Panther Party down there, and also the Deacons of Defense, is because I wanted to show you what real men were. I'm pretty sure all these people have died, and rest in peace. But these were men and women. Don't forget the women, because the women, man, the women were just as tough as the men. But my question is, if you look at the video, and I put the links there for you to go at your leisure and go ahead and look at all of that, I want you to see men, real men, who are not scared. Real men who are protecting their community. Real men who are protecting their woman, their wives, their daughters. Real men that was protecting their son. So where I'm asking the question, where are the black men in Fresno? Because, you know, yesterday when I met with some of the bullet parents, and, you know, I guess I did more listening than talking, but I asked a question. I don't know if many of you know what's going on out at Bullet. And I kind of talked about it a little bit. And it seems to me that the black women are fighting the good fight against the third largest school district in California, but there's no men. Where are the men in Fresno to stand with the women when injustice comes? Because, see, an institution or a person in power will look at one of our black sisters and they will talk to them in a certain tone. Their body language is going to be kind of aggressive. But then when the black man walks in, all that ceases, all that changes. So I'm not understanding how is it that we have black women in Fresno who have received injustice to their children. Their children are being threatened, intimidated, bullied by white male or board trustee. And they're out here fighting a school district and a school board, and I don't see no men. So we're going to go ahead and open up the lines right now. Call in to 563-999-3490. We're going to go ahead and go to the board here. We got 5172. Is that Aline, 5172?
Yeah, it's Aline. And you asked a very provocative question because historically there have been very, very few who were able to stand up for black womanhood. Now we have a situation in Fresno where we actually have a group of black men who are on campus working, United Black Men. And I will be interested to hear who in that group or if that group is part of the process that is working to remove Terry Slattery or at least have policy changes on campus. So, you know, I know that there's at least one African-American female vice president there, but United Black Men was actually working on campus. So I would be interested to find out what they are doing to address this particular problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if I'm hearing you correct, you're saying that there is a black group of men at the Bullard campus, but we're not sure where they fit. Because I thought I heard someone say Marcus, I think is part of United Black Men. I think, yeah, he is. And he spoke at the school board meeting. But I'm not sure if he was speaking from an individual or from an organization.
Oh, right.
Because I wasn't there. I was at a meeting with you. And so I'm trying to figure out where are the black men in Fresno to protect the black community and the black mothers and the children when something goes down. Because I'm basing that off of the Black Panther Party, because I looked at the documentary this evening, and, you know, I'm not sure if the Black Panther Party, Aline, I mean, you were there in the 60s.
I was.
Did all these young men have, did they have bachelor's degrees? Did they have master's degrees?
Yes, they did. Actually, Huey P. Newton and Bobby Seale met on the campus at San Francisco State. And these two brothers got together because they saw a need in the community for what was happening with law enforcement. And people need to know that they were the first cop watch, in black communities, and they would observe, you know, and take notes. This is what the Panthers did. They would observe cops and take notes when they saw them harassing black people on the street. They got badge numbers. They got, you know, squad card numbers. They were quoting the law. They were getting all the elements so that they could fight the injustice. It wasn't just about guns. People have to understand that guns always should be a last resort. But these brothers were very, very clear. If people go and they do the research, they will see that the Panthers had a 10-point program. And you couldn't just walk in off the street and say, oh, I want to be a Black Panther. They would give you a reading list of books to read by, like, Chairman Mao or Franz Fanon, The Wretched of the Earth, Che Guevara. They would give you this list of books to read. You read these books, then you come back. So, in other words, they were vetting people. They weren't just letting people in. And the Panthers grew to a point where it wasn't just about self-defense, although that was a core element. They had breakfast programs. They had shoe programs. They instituted health care clinics to screen people for sickle cell anemia, which was relatively new in the 60s, and all these things. And they had chapters across the country. And they got so powerful that the federal government had to take them down through, you know, covert operations called COINTELPRO. They bribed and bullied people into spying for them, for the government. And so it cost a lot of lives. A lot of good brothers and sisters got killed because of COINTELPRO. But the spirit of the Panthers live on. And we have to understand, people have to understand that black people didn't just take police brutality lying down. We fought. I have family members who were in the Panthers. I have family members who fought on the streets of Berkeley and San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been in riots. And so I'm just saying that we have to make a choice about where we stand against white privilege and white supremacy. And we do have allies in this valley who will stand with us. But it is up to us to protect our own children. It's up to us to do that. And we can't do that alone. We need black men to do that. And I want to make it clear that I'm not trying to castigate black men, because I know your bravery. But what the media does is twist the words of so many black women that we're angry. You know, we're aggressive. We're sapphire. You know, we're mammy. We're all these things that they have said that we are, when in fact we are just trying to protect our families and our children, and that includes our men. So we are working under the assumption that y'all just late to the party. You know, that's me. I'm speaking for myself, that y'all just late to the party. It's not that you don't want to protect us. You're just late. So I'm going to just leave it at that, Rev, and hush for a minute so I can listen to your show and the other people who are calling in.
So is anyone else who likes to chime in on this conversation? Because, you know, we have people like Stroke Carmichael, you know, Everett Cleaver, you know, and I love Stroke Carmichael because he really, really, you know, you know, Angeles Davis, you know, and see, and people really don't know, or they do know, when you lift that fist up in the air, that means something, you know.
That means something.
I mean, I've seen some people lift up a fist here not too long ago, and I'm like, give me a break. You don't even know what that means. You just.
Even 45 does it now, y'all. Even 45 does it now, and I just want to slap the taste out of his mouth. Really.
Is there anyone else like to jump in on this conversation here? What I'm doing, I'm just playing some. I'm just showing the clips of the Black Panther Party. Just some of the clips there, so those that's watching
their
the live stream can. So we got 0016. Do you have anything you like to say, or are you just listening tonight?
Yes, I'm just listening.
Okay, so you know what concerns me about Fresno right now is that we don't have the numbers to get anyone elected in office. And I know, Allen, you're the president of the West Fresno Democratic Club, and you've been working very tirelessly to change the perception of the club. You know, you're out
there,
you know, dealing with the voter suppression, the different states where they're going to have voting, you know, locations.
Mm-hmm.
And
true.
I just think that right now I don't see, and maybe I'm blind, I don't see the power that we could have in the black community between the black man and the black woman when it comes to dealing with our issues. I shouldn't have to go across the railroad track and always get my Native American brothers, Latino, white, gay and lesbian, whatever, I should be able to go to my black people and say, hey, I'm hurting. This happened to me. I need some help. What happened to, the Bible says when the salt loses its savor, it's good for nothing. I mean, are we good for nothing now? I mean,
I don't think that we're good for nothing, but you know what it is, Reverend? This is just my opinion, of course, is that when black people had a chance to have some political power in Fresno, we gave it up. During the 70s, you know, we had people like Jim Aldridge. We had people like Les Kimber. We had people like Joe Williams. We had all these people who were in positions of power, and they, for whatever reason, it did not get paid forward. You had people who were getting good jobs. You had people who were, you know, supposed to be helping Southwest Fresno and all of that. And I don't know how the ball got dropped between the mid-70s and early 70s up until now, but it did. So I don't know if it's a question of people moving from working class to middle class and just said, hey, I got mine, hope you get yours, or what happened. The unity evaporated some kind of way. And so now we always have to go politically to other groups, like you said, hat in hand, can you help me? Can you help me? And nobody wants to help somebody that's always begging. We have to build that foundation and then hold on to it. And see, that's the thing. We have to be unapologetic about what we do and the reasons we do it. No other ethnicity, you've talked about this, Reverend Harris, no other ethnicity gives away their power. When the Latinx community does something, they're not apologizing for anything. When the Hmong community does something, they're not apologizing for anything. It's the same with every other culture but ours. Yeah. And see, this is what people don't understand. Chattel slavery did a tremendous amount of harm to black people, and the shadow of it still goes on today. Why? Because after Reconstruction, Jim Crow laws, all those things, and the constant discrimination, the destruction of Black Wall Street, that went on not just in Tulsa, that went on all over the country. Look at Allensworth. Allensworth was built by black people until the power structure decided, well, you know what, we're not going to put a train stop there. We're going to cut off their water, on and on and on and on. And now it's a national park. It's like a museum, Rev. It's like a zoo. People can go there and see how it used to be for black folks.
Well, you know,
so
you know,
until,
I mean,
yeah, no, go ahead.
Well, you know,
go ahead.
Well, you know, Arlene, right now I'm playing a clip of the Black Panther Party, and they're at the Capitol with their guns.
Yes, with their guns.
They're going to the West Steps to read their memorandum to let white people know, you're not going to keep coming up in our neighborhood shooting us.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, Ronald Reagan,
that's absolutely right.
Ronald Reagan, which I know is kin to 45, Trump, he was the most racist president, one of them. There's many of them, but he's in the top five, top two racist president that I've ever seen in my lifetime. I mean, one of the things I figured out about white folks, when we, they want to change the rules.
Right.
When we figure out how to play the game.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that clip you're showing, Rev, that clip, I remember it very clearly as a girl, that this was a huge story in the San Francisco Bay Area, because they have blocked off San Francisco. Law enforcement have blocked off entrances and exits to San Francisco to try to contain the Panthers, but they still got out. Okay? Mm. They still got out. They were trying to keep the brothers contained to San Francisco and Oakland, but they still got out and went to Sacramento with their rifles. So we have to understand where there's a will, there's a way. And all these pro-gun advocates, like, you know, who talk about the Second Amendment and all that, you know what, Reverend Harris, I'm much of your opinion. I think that if black people started buying guns en masse, they would want to change the Second Amendment.
They would.
If every black man and black woman in America had a gun, and a handgun and an AK-47, I bet you they'd be trying to change the Second Amendment.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because people are tired. We're not the ones doing mass shooting.
We're not.
How do we, I'm asking a question, how do we in Fresno get our black men to be engaged more in our community instead of this piece of, oh, I got to be under the broken neighborhood, bringing broken neighborhoods back together, which is ran by
the police.
How do we get our black men and our black organizations to do for self or be a slave?
It's hard, Reverend. It's hard because what you're talking about is a power structure that is paying people. They are literally paying people to keep their mouths shut. So if you have, I mean, and think about it, y'all. Southwest Fresno right now is being occupied. So you have a police presence now at Food Max. You have police presence at Hidden Center. You have a police presence at Southwest Regional Center across the street from the EOC. Southwest Fresno is being occupied by law enforcement right now. And these are the same groups that are paying different community groups like Fresno Street Saints, like Take a Stand, like building, bringing back broken neighborhoods. You know, I didn't even know that that last organization, the Bringing Back Broken Neighborhoods, I didn't even know that they were so tight with law enforcement. Sister Maria Els is the one that hit me to that. So, you know, and I'm not trying to demonize any of these groups or any of their leaders, but you are delusional if you think that law enforcement is for you. I don't care what they say.
Yeah, that's true.
You cannot have an organization that is indiscriminately killing and jailing your children and your men and your women. You cannot have that on one hand and then have them being patting you on the back and saying good job on the other hand. It does not. That does not make sense. That is not common sense. So black people, find other ways to get your money except from law enforcement. The white man like that is not your friend, okay? He's not your friend. Get your grant money somewhere else.
So are we?
Go ahead, brother.
Are we selling out?
Yes.
I think so.
Yes, we are. I think so. I agree with the sister. And it's sad to see because we are, so what hope do our children have if they see adults in their lives not standing up for what's right?
The children
just give up. I mean, we need to be listening to brothers like Brother Kahinde, Brother Malik Simba, you know, brothers who were in the classroom, brothers like, well, I believe he's gone now, Abu Thomas, who used to teach at Fresno State, people like Lily Smalls, who used to teach at Fresno State. These are people who taught black studies and who understood that we need to know our history. This is not our history, people. Being complacent is not in our DNA.
No.
All money is not good money.
No.
So we have to have a choice. And all you Christians who are listening, Jesus was a revolutionary, okay? He went into the money changers and tore up the temple. There's a reason for that. Because everyday men and women were suffering for the want of money and the greed. So
I asked a question the other day. And I said, I would like to know how in the past 20 years in Fresno, if not 2010, if not 10-5, if not 5-4-3-2-1. My question was, can someone tell me within that time frame a civil rights organization or a black organization that has taken on an issue for black people in this city? And I wanted to know what the issue was. I posted that about 5 days ago.
Mm.
And do you know I haven't gotten one response on my post?
Wow. Wow.
So the question becomes, black people are endangered here because we don't even have any covering. See, the Latino community, they have covering. They have MAPA, they have
Armed.
Our black community got covering. They got the lead, they got the Western Democratic Club, they got National Network and that. You know. But I said, just tell me who it is. And no one has not responded on anything about anybody sitting here has done any advocacy work around black issues for black people here in Fresno.
And isn't that a sad, sorry state of affairs? People are afraid. They don't want to have their name associated with somebody who's considered a revolutionary, progressive person like yourself. You know, and probably like myself. I don't know, but everybody who knows me, I've been the same person my whole life. I got the same political views now in my 60s that I had in my 20s. And so people have got to stand up. You know, you say you're a Christian, then get out there and fight for your own black people and fight for the homeless. You know, you want to feed the homeless. What about feeding the people down the street who at the end of the month don't have enough to last them? What about that? You know, what about energizing your church in order to help people that look like you? You know, without being asked. That's what a Christian does. That's how I was brought up. You know, you see a need and you go and help that person. You don't have to advertise it. But Reverend Harris, if black people don't start to change, there's not going to be no more black people in Fresno. Okay, the population, you're the one that hit me to this. The population of black Fresno has already dipped below 5%. You're the one that told me that. I didn't even know that. So for the remaining people who are here, we better be trying to be revolutionaries and radical.
Yeah.
We better be trying to be fighters.
Yes.
Why? We got another caller online. Well, let's see who this is. Last week we had a couple of racist folks. Hopefully this is not them. But let's see. 6637. 6637, welcome to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show. You have a comment, you're just listening.
Yes, no, I have a comment. This is me, I'm back. And this is Crystal Joyce. I'm back, vacation is over. I'm about to Okay, so I had heard the first conversation. I didn't hear it all because I'm at work. I just got able to get in. But you had asked a question about why and have black people sold out. We've been sold out. We ain't just sold out. We've been sold out. And it is because of fear. But what the fear has done, it has crippled us. It's made us be less than what God had intended us to be. Because in slavery, they were scared too, but they still did what they could do. And they had the Underground Railroad. They had a few that was, you know, with it. You understand what I'm saying? And we have a few now that's up and can speak and that will try to work within the confines of the system. The system has crippled us because we have allowed our voices not to be heard. And when it is heard, it's very, very faint and it's still way in the back. You understand? They don't let us come to the forefront with issues that concern us. They don't let us talk about the issues that concern us as black people, as human beings, as part of society in our communities. Our communities are the lost communities. Our children are the lost children. So everything about us is wrong. Everything about us is not right when the system looks at it. But how do we look at ourselves? See, if we looked at ourselves better, then we'll do better. And we wouldn't care how the system looked at us. You understand what I'm saying? We would create our own system. And it's past due over time. You understand? People's having money. Black people have money. They have power. Yeah. But they're using it against each other still because they still have a slave mentality. They don't know how to build their own schools. They don't know how to teach their own children. They still want to send them to the white folks and let them teach them. My child go to a white school too because I haven't got that far ahead either, but they go to the Freedom School on the weekend. Thank you, Lord.
All right, now.
And they get to learn about themselves, and they get to learn about things that's important to them.
Yeah.
They learn how to plant and grow their own food again, like we did back in the day. You know, my grandmother had a garden. She had persimmon trees. She had walnuts.
Yeah.
She grew all her own fruits and vegetables. And at the end of the day, we all better learn how to do so because they contaminate the ground.
Amen.
The ground is contaminated that we're putting our seeds into. And I'm talking about our spiritual seeds. I'm talking about the seeds that we feed from. I'm talking about the seeds that we bring from our womb. It's all being contaminated. And they know they contaminated it. You understand what I'm saying? So our mind, our system, our body, and our soul is contaminated. And until we quit taking the poison in, which is the system and the way the system sees us, which is poisoning our children, it poisons our mind. They let them call them gang members. Now, if my children want to call themselves a gang member, then that's on me to correct them. You are who I called you. I gave you name. I gave you birth. Jesus made all this possible. God gave you life. Through me. So I call you so-and-so. Don't call yourself no gang member around me. You understand what I'm talking about?
Right.
Now, if you're participating in activities that conducive to having something better and bigger than what you think you're capable of having on your own, then that's different. Back in the day when they was really coming together as gang members, what they call themselves today, it was to create money, and it might have been drug money. It might have been pimping money. It might have been whatever money, but it wasn't about killing each other. It was about money. And you couldn't come in my neighborhood and sell no drugs, and I wouldn't go in your neighborhood and sell no drug. And then the drug epidemic is what they put in our neighborhoods, and our kids use it to make money. But now they're using the drug in their system, which is polluting our kids, because they use the drug instead of selling them, and they sell them to the same people that they was supposed to be trying to help, which was their family members. They seen their mamas on drugs, and they didn't like that, so why would you go to somebody else's mama? That's what I tried to instill in mine, but it didn't work because the system has, you know, good and evil is always present. That's scripture, and that's the truth. So it doesn't matter how much good you try to teach your children. They have a choice, and some of the choices they make are against them, whether they know it or not. So what we have to do is start enlightening our own. We have to build more things to teach and to encourage and to get the trauma. See, we've been traumatized for I don't know how many years. And I'm in a society and a system, and I work in an area that teaches trauma care. I'm learning how to take trauma and take care of other people's kids, and ain't did nothing for my own. Do you understand? Because now mine's in prison. I have relatives that's been killed because of trauma in their life, and now they want to send everybody to these trauma facilities But they don't send the black kids to trauma facilities. They send them to the penitentiary because it's an organization. And they're still making money off of my children and children of color, Mexicans too. You know, we're children of color. White folks get to go to mental health facilities. White folks get to go to the federal prison for having a gun. Black kids go to the state prison and get treated like cattle and be warehoused and be there 15 and 20 years and don't even have a GED because they're in a maximum security prison, and you can't get no education and no schooling and no training. You have to be down to a level 2 or 1. You understand what I'm saying? So it's all a racket.
This is what
we're
talking about.
This is what I'm
talking about.
And this lady wants to take her phone, and I got to get off of here. Call me on my phone. I'm not through. And I'm willing to stand up, and a lot of women are willing to stand up, and men do take a back seat to stuff, and I don't know why, because we need protection on the front line. If you ain't going to stand up, just protect me when I say it. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Don't turn your back and tell me you got my back, and then I say something, then you run and tuck tail, because if that's the case, I have another woman standing beside in the front and around me when I say what I say, because I know they got my back, because some women are about what they say. Because we always had to be.
That's true.
Yeah.
And not necessarily because we wanted to be, but because we
had to be. Do you understand? We had to be.
Yes.
I want to break. You understand? I wish I had a good husband somewhere to pray for me and took care of me and all that. But until I get one, I'm going to take care of me and pray for me and everybody else. You understand? Because I know prayer works. But I know we have to be numbered. We have to come out strong.
Don't we deserve that? I mean, don't we all get tired of being strong all the time? I know I do.
It wears on you. But what I'm telling you, he said in our weakness, he is strong. So, see, women get weak and the Lord builds us up. Women get weak and the Lord builds us up. I don't know who men call on, but they need to call on the Lord, because men are weak too, but they don't want to admit to their weaknesses, and maybe that's why they can't get built up. Maybe that's why they can't protect like they should and used to. See, they used to try to cover their woman even when they was getting whipped. You understand?
Yeah. Yeah.
They knew that death was coming. If they stood up and Massa was coming to rape their woman, and they said, no, you ain't going to get her tonight. You understand what I'm talking about? And they tried to stand up, and he whipped them and beat them and killed him and still took her. But at least he tried.
At least he tried.
He stood up and did something. You understand?
Yes.
We need our people to get up and do something. Even if it's wrong, don't nothing be the fail but a try. You got to try.
You know what I'm saying?
My mama says, if I sit here all day, all I'm going to do is what I'm doing, sitting there. But if I get up, I could do a lot of things, because when I get up, ain't no telling what I might do. So we got to get up.
Our children are watching every single thing that we do and don't do. Our children are watching us. They are looking at us making decisions. They are looking at us about what they're going to be when they're adults.
They
We're
want
their
some
teachers.
Help, too.
Parents are the first teachers. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
They want some help. They wonder where their help going to come from. You understand? They see that the parents, like with my children, I have children that's grown with grandkids. My grandkids are grown almost, and then I have my nieces. So my niece looks at me, and she see Auntie going to work. She see Auntie going to church. She see Auntie praying.
Mm-hmm.
She see Auntie crying. She see Auntie fussing.
That's right.
So she's like, well, my Auntie going through a whole lot. You understand what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to help my
Auntie? That's right.
So I tell her the Lord going to help me. But with that being said, she know there's some things that need to happen. Maybe Auntie need to get a better job. You see what I'm talking about? So she don't have to work 2 or 3.
I sure do.
But she also knows that the pay. We talk about these things. You have to have a good education nowadays, and a whole lot of paperwork, and I mean degrees and certificates and all this stuff to get paid. You can have the knowledge, but the system doesn't want the knowledge. They want the documentation.
No.
So we got a lot of fools that have documentation that can't do the work.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And this is why we're organizing this Black Summit at the end of October, because the keynote speaker is going to be talking about how we can disrupt this school to prison pipeline. Because if we can't keep our kids out of the prisons, if we can't keep them in schools, how are they going to get that education? sister,
and you know
just,
what?
Just,
one thing, my coworker wants to
maximum
leave.
Security.
Mhm. Okay, but one more thing about the schooling and the prison system. That's the truth right there. If we can't keep them in school, then we can't get them to colleges. And see, the system says that this is the system. They come from birth to kindergarten to preschool, then they go to elementary school, and then they go to middle school, then they got to go to high school and college. That's the system. Our children really don't really do well with system because the system ain't designed for them to do well. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm.
It doesn't meet
Absolutely.
Their needs. And our children have been traumatized. And I don't care
yep.
if because your mama was on drugs or if your daddy was in prison. I don't care if he was domestic violence going on. I don't care if they drank alcohol. I don't care if they was the pastor and he was in church every Sunday and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. He still was away from the house and he wasn't there with his children that he was raising or they took him to church too much and they made him crazy doing that. So it's just trauma. We never was really taught and able to express ourselves what was in us. You understand? We had to keep suppressing. They wanted to suppress who we are. And when we start getting some inkling of who we are and some understanding of who we are and what God has put in us, and then it's going to come out one way or the other. It's going to come out good or it's going to come out bad. Because if I have a lot of passion for something and it's being suppressed, then it's going to turn into anger. It's probably going to turn into frustration. Then sooner or later it's going to turn into rage. You understand what I'm saying? So what God put in us that was meant for good, do you see? So it gets turned around in our children. They have a lot of passion for things, but the things that they're passionate about, they haven't been able to cultivate it because it's not conducive for that. And the system don't want our children to succeed, and I'm sure about it. And then Fresno, to me, they're the Uncle Thomas racist place in the world. And
Tell
I
it.
Say that because I see so many people here that have got an inch in the dough, and they ain't pulled nobody with them. It's like,
come on,
I'm in here, but I ain't sister. You know, I can't fool with so-and-so because Sarah's still over there, and she still talks too loud, and, you know, she probably still do this and that and other. So what if Sarah could do the job, pull her in there and help her? You understand what I'm saying?
That's wrong.
And then we have to have our, like they said back in the day, we had our big mamas. We had people that we looked up to. He looks up to,
come on,
I don't even know nobody else no more, Harley. My aunties is who I look up to now, you know, because all the older women have passed on. My aunties are up in age, and I try to glean and get as much as I can from them still. But I work too much to really get what I really need from them. You know, I need to sit up under the table and listen to the conversations that got them where they were. And when I was in a position to do so, I was working my way through to get there.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because you know, our folks
sure
assume to do some stuff first. They don't make you work your way through. They don't make you, you know, earn your way. They're not going to just give
that's
you nothing.
True.
And it's better that way. It is because what you earn and what you work for, you keep.
You appreciate
and what you
it
learn,
more. That's right.
And what you learn, they can't take from you. So if I learn how to do something, I have that, and if you give me something, then I probably won't even remember how I got it and how to get it again. So I appreciate what they have done for me. But where's the black men? Where's the ones teaching our children? Where's the black men that were supposed to teach my son that's 39 years old, been in the penitentiary for 15 years, going on 15 years? Nobody was teaching him. And then now, even with these gang members, as they call them, they don't even have real big homies, because if they did, the big homies are the ones that's supposed to orchestrate and keep everything organized to where you could tell them little fellas to sit down. You know, it's hope on this. We're not doing this no more today. But they don't have that. They don't have no structure. When it was first created, like I said, I think it was created for structure. It was created for run drugs, prostitution, kicking, and have their neighborhood kind of on tight. You know, nobody really was shooting at each other.
But that was a different time, sis. That was a different time. Now the police have demonized these gang members, what they're calling gang bangers. Now they have demonized them. But these are people who had to create their own families and their own jobs because they couldn't get any. in greater society. So they had to create their own, you know, protection and their own employment. And as far as I'm concerned, gangbangers are not evil. Gangbangers are frontline troops, okay?
They're
frontline troops.
They just working for the wrong side. And they got mixed up in their mind with these drugs and stuff that they induce in their body to kill the pain
That's
of life. So they take it out on everybody and anybody. Yes, they are frontline troops. And they need to learn how to assemble and get themselves together so they could be more productive and so they can have it the right way. That's what they need to
do. That's right. That's what I'm saying.
We would be so powerful. And if they came together and quit being, I live on Bird and you live on Ivy, and we can't get along, nigga, that's across the street. What you mean? I don't know if across the street or not, but it's close. It's all on the west side. But I'm just saying we have to stop that. That mentality is what's keeping us killing and having funerals and all that. But the Lord said all this will come to pass, and I believe it. Cowboys and Indians was gang, too. They had red bandanas and blue bandanas. So it's there since the beginning of time. The slave that worked in the white in the house and the field slaves, I believe they was banging, too. Them white folks in Peckerwood and the KKKs, they gang members, too. But you don't hear them talking about them. You don't hear them putting them in jail. They be on TV with guns and stuff. They don't go to jail for being on Facebook with guns. They don't do nothing to them.
No.
It's acceptable. Okay,
people
this lady wants to take her
police.
Phone. I got to go.
The sister brought it. She brought it. She brought it, y'all.
Well, I know.
Woo. Sister wasn't playing.
Yes.
Oh.
The truth.
Ooh. That's a lot to unpack.
That is what we're talking about. Issues in the black community. Charity starts at home. And we have to do for self or be enslaved. And I think we're at a time right now where, you know, look, there was a brother said something the other day. I won't say his name. But he says, you know, Harris is a good guy. I mean, he's a hell of a civil rights leader, you know. But he's on the outside.
But
I'm in the inside. And what he meant was that he was in the inside getting white folk money. See, I'm the type of man that I'm going to work for mine. I don't want you to give me a damn thing. You see, once you give me something, you don't have no respect for me.
Right.
I earn what I work for with my hands and my mind. See, then I'm a respected person. Then I'm an independent person. See, as long as I keep walking around with my hand back, thinking that you owe them. Yeah, America owe us 400 years of slavery. They owe us reparations. Yes, they do.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about now. We have to understand right now where we're at. We're not even on the radar screen in Fresno, folks. We're not even respected people here in Fresno. Alan Archie says this. Former Alan Archie says this.
Oh my gosh. Alan Archie, he said that black people will jump up and down and raise their voices and holler, but they don't have any follow through.
Alan Archie,
he told me that to my face.
He said
black
people in Fresno is all bark and no bite. That's what Alan Archie said.
Wow.
Because we spend more time fighting against one another. Black people, we spend more time. I mean, it would be different if we had yachts and skyscrapers and, you know, jets.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't got nothing. But yet, mm-hmm. here we are fighting each other, tearing each other down.
Cannibalizing mm-hmm. each other, yep.
Eating each other
yes,
up.
Yes, indeed.
Why? See, so our problem is if we unitize, then we come with power. But as long as we want to keep this individual conversation, you know, philosophy going, you know, I can't support you.
Well,
you can't support
well,
me.
Well, I have a question to ask you, Rev, about that very thing. My question is this. Do you think that, okay, groups like NAACP, BWAPA, BAPAC, do you think that the people who are members of that organization, black members, think they are doing enough just by being members? And that's why we don't see them on the front lines?
Well, I to be honest with you, I don't even know what they do, to tell you the truth. I say that because I'm in the trenches. You know, now if you're talking about, you know, well, we're going to have, you know, some donuts and coffee and social time, I'm pretty sure they
mm-hmm.
do that. If you want to talk about coming out here, speaking truth to power, if you're coming out here talking about, we're not going to allow this mother and her son was shot in the back. No, we're not going
right.
to put up with it. If you're talking about mothers who are out at Bullard High School right now that's being taken and them being traumatized and they're upset and they want justice, I haven't seen BWAPA, I haven't seen BAPAC, I haven't seen any of those groups, NAACP, go out to the Bullard High School and say anything. One iota. Okay, why? Because many of them, I'm not going to say all of them, many of them are sold out to the power structure. See, you can't eat on your table and think you're going to hold the oppressor accountable. It doesn't work like that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? No. I'm the type of cat. I'm not concerned about taking pictures with you. I'm not concerned about eating chicken and watermelon with
mm-hmm.
you. I'm concerned about getting justice for my people. I'm concerned about the resources coming to my people that's been robbed from them, that's been sent up north, right, that we down south don't have anything. You see what I'm saying? That's
right.
what I'm concerned about. See, I don't want white folk money. So I make my own money. Okay? And so for those who want to have a handout, listen, do what you got to do. I'm not a prostitute, okay? I'm a real revolutionary black stallion man, okay? How about that? And that's the problem. I ain't gonna call them men. We have males in Fresno, but when we start talking about real men, let me say this one thing. But to answer your question, Eileen, it's We're in bad shape,
we are.
That's why the summit that you're doing, and I'd like you to talk about that.
That we are doing. That's right.
Yeah. We are our problem.
Yeah.
This is that we are our problem. Yeah, we are our problem. Listen.
Yeah.
We had a bunch of shootings that went on in West Fresno one week. So I sat here at my table, and I said, what can I do? You know, I want to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. So something said, make a call out on Facebook that you want 20 not scared black men to meet you, feed them breakfast, talk, see how we can network amongst one another. Real innocent, free breakfast, everything, right? Our women cooked it. They did an excellent job. Out of 20 people, I asked to come. And there were people who told me that they were going to come. I really only had one person show up. One person show up. Two, because one person even got canceled. And all we were going to do was come together, eat, get to know each other. And I said, and when we finish, we'll pick a date where we can walk the community in bubbles. That's all it was.
Right.
Wow.
Ain't that something?
We got one brother. See, so the problem is with us. So we can keep blaming the white man. It's the white man that, and there's some blame for it. But our problem right now is us. It's us.
Now, they do.
Women, let me tell you about the women. The women was ready to go that day. I said, hold on. I said, I appreciate y'all, but, you know, us men, we got to get it together.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, all right, well, tell you what we're going to do. Y'all get together, we'll cook for y'all. I said, okay. Only one brother showed up. I'm talking about here in Fresno.
Wow.
So now... Mm-hmm. I'm going to blow the bugle for the women now. So maybe the women can lead by example so the men can follow.
Well, here's the thing, Rev, and I'm with you on that because sisters don't mind getting on the front line, but we need somebody to flank for us, okay? I don't know a lot about football. But I know the word. I know what flanking means. So if we are going to be out there, we need somebody to flank and block for us.
I'll do my best. That's all I can tell you. I'll do my best.
Okay.
I might get ran over, but I'll do my best.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man. But we appreciate it.
But see, this is what we're gonna do. Just like how you all cook the men breakfast, I don't care. Well, you know I like to cook anyway.
I know you're a good cook.
We're gonna cook for the women, and we're gonna let the women organize, right, and talk, network, and do what they're gonna do, since us men can't figure it out and get together. But that's what we're going to do.
I appreciate that, speaking for the sisters. But let me just say this before you wrap up the show. I don't know Bullard High School campus. I don't know how many black football players, the basketball players they have at Bullard. But I'm going to put this out there for the younger brothers and maybe the older fathers and husbands and uncles and grandfathers will listen. If those brothers will do like their collegiate brothers did and protest and say we're not going to play until this gets resolved, that is a direct action that's going to get some people attention. And see, the way that the environment is now, they might have to take some hits for that. But this is part of their problem, too, because this is part of their campus. Bullard probably can't win no games without these young brothers. I'm just saying. I'm sure they got wonderful players of all colors and stripes at Bullard. I'm specifically talking to the young black football players and basketball players that the cheerleaders cheer for. Support your sisters. Support your sisters in what's going on right now. And think about not wanting to play until this policy thing gets resolved about this blackface N-word usage. And I know that some of you brothers, along with the young sisters that are at that school, have faced this kind of aggression before. This is the only thing that has popped to the surface right now, but y'all are dealing with it every day. So let's go ahead and get this, you know, resolved. So, Rev, if we have football players showing up, wanting to cook and eat, y'all gonna have to buy more food. I'm just saying, because they can eat, they can put it away.
You make a good point, because Dr. King, any time that he dealt with any issues, number one, he said, ID the issue, number two, negotiate the issue, number three, direct action. I believe that we have done all of that. We're calling in the ACLU now to work with the mothers to follow point. I'm looking at organizing, organizing a direct action out in the Bullock community. That information will soon come. We're attacking this from different angles right now, which I think is important. So the enemy just can't zero in on one person or one group. I think that the parents, the mothers right now, need to see support from the men. I'm going to say that again.
Yes.
The women need to see support from the men. Where are the men? That's my question right now. Our women are out here fighting injustice, and I don't see no men standing there beside them. That's a problem to me, okay? I'm there with them, but I should not be the only one there. Okay, so if this was your daughter, your granddaughter, your niece, you would want a man and someone there standing to support you. So this is the problem we have to express. Where are the men? Okay? Where are the men? Okay? Now, I know where most of them are. They're down there with Steve Dyer, even kicking a watermelon. That's where most of them are. Okay? So my point is that we will not allow our black women to stand alone fighting this racist system in Fresno by themselves, okay? And so I will be there. I'm encouraging. When I blow the bugle, when I let people know, I want to see men driving up in cars and getting out of their cars and say, Reverend Harris, what do we need to do? That's the type of men our grandparents were, okay? I don't know where
they
missed the boat now where we don't even care. I don't know where we missed the boat that we're just a doormat to the system here in Fresno.
I got to believe they're coming. They're coming. They're just late.
Let me tell you this. If this happened with my grandma back in the late, early 70s, you would see masses of black people standing. I'm talking about carloads of mass people standing together saying, now, we're not putting up with this. But here it is, 40 to 50 years later, we can't get no one to even care about injustice that's happening to our children. I don't get it. I mean, maybe I'm born during the wrong time.
No, they're coming. They are coming. They're coming, Rev. I have to believe in my heart that these brothers are coming. Sisters cannot do this by themselves because we shouldn't have to. We are going to support the moms and the daughters at Bullock. Believe me, we're going to support them. We're going to be there. The black women in Fresno are going to have their backs, and we are looking for the men to be there as well. We're coming together, family. We're coming together.
Well, let me say this. We're going to go ahead and close. Can you talk about the summit real quick in like 2 minutes, and we're going to go ahead and close.
Sure. The first annual Progressive Black Summit is happening October 26th, which is a Saturday, and October 27th. Which is a Sunday. And our keynote speaker for the 26th is James Bell. He is the founder and CEO right now of the W. Hayward Burns Institute for Equality and Justice in Oakland, California. And James is going to be doing a half-hour keynote speech on juvenile justice in America and disrupting the school-to-prison pipeline. And he is also going to be kind enough to be on the first panel addressing that same subject. So we have some heavy hitters. James is going to open our summit, and Reverend Floyd D. Harris, Dr. Harris, is going to close it on Sunday. So we're going to have two panels on Saturday and then in the morning. And then in the afternoon on Sunday, we're going to have two panels, and then we're going to close. And people, this is a free event, but don't discount it because it's free. This is an event. You're going to pay for this event with the solutions to the black problem in the Central Valley. So we want you all to come out. The first day is going to be at New Light Church at 1106 West Woodward. And the second day is going to be at Bitwise Enterprises at 700 Van Ness. And we're going to be in the auditorium down there. So come ready. This is not about selling anything. I'm sure we're probably going to have some vendors there. But we're not trying to sell anything. We're not trying to buy anything. We are trying to set a foundation for our children. So come to the Progressive Black Summit in October and bring folks with you. If you are a progressive black person that's living in this valley or anywhere within the sound of my voice, come to the summit and support your people.
Is
all right,
phone,
Rev.
Do you have a phone number or anything if someone needs to reach you?
Oh, yes. If you want to attend, you want to RSVP early because we think space is going to fill up, you can call me, Aline Reed, at 559-470-5172. Or you can email me at progressiveblack98@gmail.com. Or you can call Reverend Harris at, I should know this by heart, 559-790-4277. So reach out, bring your children with you. You want to educate them about progressive black folks in this valley. Bring them, and we'll all talk about it together. All right.
All right. There you go. Sister Aline, we're going to thank Sister Ingram, Sister Crystal for tuning in.
Mm-hmm.
We just saying, you know, we just need to do what we got to do and move forward. We have a lot of work we need to do here in the community. There's no time to be laid back. There's no time to be conservative. It's time to be aggressive. It's time to step up to the plate. Our babies are suffering. Our babies are hurting. Our babies are traumatized right now. And, you know, I'm going to do all I can do. No more excuses. No more excuses.
No, I'm not.
And we got to do what we got to do to liberate us. We live once. We want to help the next several generations right now.
Yeah.
So right now, we're just going to go out with public enemies saying fight the power because that's what we're doing. We're fighting the power. We're going to say goodnight. We'll be checking with you on Thursday night with the West London Democratic Club.
I see.
Thank you.